Yuma Daf Ayin Vav. A couple days ago, we started the eighth parak of the Masechta, a parak dedicated to Issur V'Heter, those inuyim on Yom Kippur that we must abstain from. Torah tells us to afflict ourselves on Yom Kippur, v'inisem es nafsho seichem. The Mishnah, first Mishnah, gave us the list of inuyim, those abstentions that are required, as we already discussed in the first Mishnah. Achil v'shtia, eating and drinking, is for sure an Isser min haTorah on Yom Kippur. Additional to that, anyone who eats and drinks deliberately on Yom Kippur is subject to the Karis penalty, provided that they eat a shear. As pointed out in the Mishnah, as far as the other Inuyim are concerned that are outlined in the Mishnah, it is not clear whether they are Isser min haTorah or they are Asser midRabbanan. A little bit later in this daf, we're going to once again turn to a Gemara that is going to speak to this issue, but not directly, not clearly. And once again, as we pointed out already on the first daf of the eighth parak, it's subject to a machlokus amongst the Rishonim. The Gemara segued into a full daf of Agarata in yesterday's daf, Ayin Hey. The Gemara talked about the Mun, Gemara talked about the Slav. The connecting point between Mishnah and the Mun is when giving a description of the Mun, the Torah says, Ha'ma'achil ha'man ba'midbar l'man anoscha. That the Mun somehow afflicts us in the desert. How exactly does the Mun afflict us in the desert? So go back to the Gemara on the bottom of Ayin Dal Amud Beis, addresses this question, gives a couple of suggestions. Anyway, so, and the Gemara spent an entire daf discussing Mun. Now a second daf, continuing its discussion of Mun. We're on Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. We're 5 lines from the top of the Amud. Shalu Tamidav es Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The following question was posed from the students to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Mimnei ma lo yarad la'em l'Yisrael. Mam pam achas b'shana. Why didn't the man kan just simply one day of the year, rather than come down daily and just simply daily portions? Why not come down one time during the year, obviously for an annual portion? So Amar lahem em sholach hamashal. So the Rashbi gives the following answer: Laman lama hadavar dama. What is it similar to? Lamelach basa b'dam sheyesh lo ben echad, king who had one son, pasak lamazonas of pam achas b'shana, and he would allocate to his son enough money and allowance for food for the entire year. But because the allowance was on an annual rate, so therefore he only saw him annually, one time a year. Because he wanted to see his son more frequently, so therefore the allowance was daily. And that's why he saw, and thereby he saw his father daily. Af Yisrael, that's the mashal of the Nimshal, which is pretty obvious, but the Gemara still spells it out. Af Yisrael, mi sheyesh lo arba v'chamisha banim. So someone who had 4 or 5 children, hayadog v'omer, would constantly worry and say, shemelo yered man lamachar. Look, I got a family to feed. There may not be man coming tomorrow. Nimsu kulam mesim berav, and everyone's going to die. Nimsu kulam mechav nimslim on lavin shebashamayim. Everyone's going to be having the best kavana possible, knowing that they have a family to feed, knowing that they only have food for one day. So they're going to have kavana, and they are going to be looking for a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu on a regular basis. Davar Acher, second answer proposed by the Rashbi. Shein ochlin oso, shayu ochlin oso kishucham. They ate it while it was warm, being that it would come down daily, so it came down, so to say, fresh. And so as opposed to if it came down on a yearly rate, so by the end of the year, it would be stale. I have a good feeling that Kadosh Baruch Hu would provide an ace, that it wouldn't become inedible, but still. Davar Acher, third pshat, mibnei masu ederach, schlep. If it came down, a year's worth came down at one time, so that would be a tremendous schlep to have to carry it around while they're traveling through the midbar. So this obviously lightens their load. So 3 explanations why the Mun came down daily. Continuing, Kvar Hayu Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Shmuel, V'Zekinim Yoshim Boskim B'Parshas Mun. So he had these Tanaim, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Shmuel, and other Zekinim as well, engaging in a discussion regarding the Mun. V'Hayu Rabbi Lazar Hamodai Yoshe B'Neim. And together with them was Rabbi Lazar Modai, Nana Rabbi Lazar Modai V'Amar. Now he made a contribution to the conversation. Mun She'ar Lahem L'Yisrael Hayah Gavosh Shishimama. When it came down, so it was 60 Amos high. Amar Lo Rabbi Tarfon Modai Ad Masai Tamin Gavev Dvarim. Serious reprimand handed by Rabbi Tarfon to Rabbi Lazar Hamodai, and that is, you're going to just gather all this information, and where are you getting this from? It seems to be a somewhat challenging position that the mana gathered up to 60 amos high. So Amar lo Rebbe Mikra Nidar. So Rabbi Elazar Mandai says, I didn't just make this up. This wasn't a concussion. This is actually based on the numbers that are provided in the Torah. And now let's put two numbers side by side. Going back to the Mabul. So we know that the water was higher than the mountains by 15 amas. V'chi chamish esrei ama be'emek. Skip the next three words. Chamish esrei baharim. Now don't think for a moment that 15 amas higher than the valley and 15 amas higher than the mountain. Meaning we all understand and know the nature of water. Water obviously is going to be at the same level. So when it says 15 amas, it means that it was 15 amas higher than the mountain, which means that even before that point in time, obviously the water had to rise very high to get to the top of the mountain to begin with. And v'chi maya shuri kame, don't think for a moment that the water just was like walls and staggering in height. V'ote v'he chasagin, on top of that, so it had to have been uniform. Otherwise, how could Noach's teva go above the mountains and eventually come to rest on the top of a mountain? It must be obviously that all the water was 15 amas, and the highest peak, and the 15 amas is measured from the highest peak, otherwise known as a mountain. Specifically, the teva ended up on Har Ararat, but either way. So Ella, so it must be Nifku Kol Mayanos Tehom Rabba. So you have to say that before we're measuring the water that came down from the rain, we're talking first about the underground water, the subterranean water that first flooded Adashu Maya Bahade Ture. And basically that subterranean water caused the water to rise all the way to the top of the mountain. And then Bahadur Chamesh Esrei Ama Mila Malagav Ramayim. Now as far as the rainwater is concerned, that was responsible for an additional 15 Am. So the whole point the Gemara made up until this point, this is Rav Elazar Mardai's argument, is that when dealing with the flood, so the 15 amas mentioned in the Torah, so that only accounts for the water that came down as far as rain is concerned. As far as all the other water is concerned, the water that got you to from the lowest point to the top of the mountain, so that was all subterranean water. Good. V'chi eze mida meruba mida tova mida peranios. Now, as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what he is going to be doing to this world, so mida tova is always going to exceed that of mida peranios. Have yomer mida tova meruba mida peranios. So b'mida peranios omer. Now, as far as punishment is concerned, v'arubos ha'shamayim niftachu. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu open up in order for the rain to come down? So he opened up windows. Okay, again, it's obviously a manner in which we can understand whatever the opening was up in Shemayim, but windows came and opened up in order for the rain to come down. Kemida tova, bemida tova hu amen. Now, as far as the man is concerned, so we have a pasuk in Tehillim describing the man, Ayin Ches. We quoted yesterday from Perek Ayin Ches in Tehillim, and here we go again. Torah gives a description of what opening up, not the sky, but rather the doors. So as opposed to the rain, which was windows, here it's doors. Now, how many windows can fit into a doorway? Now, obviously, this is talking about from their point of reference and how they constructed windows and how they constructed doors. But basically, the answer is arba arba. So for every door, so there are going to be four windows being able to fit into every door. The standard door size back in the day was equivalent to four window sizes. So hare kanchmona. So for two doorways, that's going to now be eight windows. Anyway, but the ratio is going to be 1 to 4. Nimsa manshiar lehem liyisrael gavoshi shemama. So now, if the rain, which is represented by a window, which is a quarter of the size of a door, is going to produce 15 amas of rain, so too, when the doorway opens up, dropping the mun, so it's going to be four times that amount. 4 times 15 is 60. Thus, the Gemara has proven that the total number of amos that the mun collected after it rained every day is going to be a total of 60 amos. Tiny, the Gemara quotes another brisa, providing another opinion. Isi ben Yehuda Omer, man she'er lam liyisrael, the mun that came down for the Jewish people, hayam is gabri ba'ola. It would just keep going up higher and higher. Asheron also kol machi mizrach umar of shenamar taruch lefanai shochan neged sarai. Pasuk in Tehillim, we say this parak of Tehillim right before benching on Shabbos. The pasuk says that the table was set in front of all of our enemies, and so that means to say that the table that the mun could be seen by our enemies. So piled so high that it could be seen even at greater distances. Presumably, it's higher than 60 amos, but regardless, however you arrive at it, it's going to be a significant height. And as long as we quoted the pasuk, the Gemara quotes the end of the pasuk, quotes the Revaya. What does it mean that the cup overflows? Amar Abaye, Kaseh de David, Lama de Ase, the coast of David HaMelech in the world to come. Masam ve'esrin v'chad lugamachzik. It's going to be holding 221 lug. Shenamar kotzi Revaya, Revaya begamachia hachihava, and the gamachia of Revaya is in fact going to be a total of 221. The Gemara has just provided two different positions in terms of how high the mon would be off the ground after it descended. Either it's going to be 60 amos off the ground, or without giving a number, high enough where it's going to be seen by the enemies. Regardless, certainly the point is that there was such an accumulation, a depositing of mon, that it rose very high. The Gemara over here is going to push back a little bit in Rav Elazar Modai, who says that it was 60 amos off the ground. Haladami, the Gemara says, look, the comparison between the rain that came down from the Mabul and the mon that descended from Shemayim, so it's not a fair comparison. The Gemara immediately challenges, not immediately, but still challenges. As far as the rain is concerned, so yeah, there was an accumulation of 15 amos, but that's after 40 consecutive days of rain. Over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about where basically the mon came down, a moment's time, not exactly a moment, but let's call it an hour. But regardless, so you're comparing an hour to 40 days. And Hasam Lukuleyama, and there in the rain, that was for the whole world. So in other words, you're talking about a much larger area of a much larger mass of area. And meanwhile, Hachal Yisrael Chude, here we're talking about a much smaller area, talking about just for the Jewish people. Benafush Leitfei. So you have to take both factors into consideration. Now, these are factors that are very hard to measure, but the point is that these factors basically are telling us that we're not looking at a fair comparison. The fact that it rained for 40 consecutive days, that obviously means if we were to take that and reduce it down to just 1 hour, it would be significantly less. On the other hand, when we're talking about the expanse of area, the region that it covers, the rain is obviously covering the entire world. Over here, we're talking about a much smaller region. So the truth of the matter is that these factors are really pointing us in two different directions. What the Gemara basically says is that the comparison is not a fair comparison, and what we would expect is that there probably be even more mon, meaning that the Gemara is really focusing on the area of coverage. And if the rain is covering the whole world, over here the mon is only covering the area of Klal Yisrael, so it's a much smaller area, therefore it should be much higher. Anyway, Rav Elazar Modai, psicha, gamar. So Gemara says, as far as Rav Elazar Modai is concerned, so it's not so much a mathematical equation for him, although the ratio is important, but as far as the comparison is concerned, it's based on Gzeira Shava, meaning in both occasions the Torah uses the verbs of Pasach, it opened up, and so therefore, despite the fact that there are basic differences between the rain of the Mabul and the raining down of the Mon, nevertheless, all we get to do is just simply look at the ratio between the door and the window, and that's it. And that's the only thing that we need to take into consideration. Okay, Adkan. So it has ended the Gemara's discussion regarding the mon. We head back to the Chameshis Inuyim. The Mishnah said Aser Be'achila, and then the Mishnah goes on to list another five Inuyim on top of that. Hani Chamish Inuyim Keneged Mi. Now, there are five Inuyim, and what does that correspond to? So, first of all, there are two basic issues. One, the Gemara is not going to deal with. The other, the Gemara is going to deal with. The issue the Gemara will deal with is that there's not five Inuyim, but there are rather six Inuyim. And meanwhile, the Gemara over here says that there are five, so that the Gemara is going to be dealing with. But the larger issue, which the Gemara is not going to deal with, but we already referenced this back into the Tosfos Yeshanim when we opened up the eighth parak of the Masechta, is that the idea that the Inuyim are min ha-Torah, first of all, the Torah never says what the Inuyim are. Torah says, v'inisim esnaf shosechem, we just simply have to afflict ourselves in Yom Kippur. The fact that the Inui is going to be manifest itself in the manner in the Mishnah in which the Mishnah provided, fine, that's a definition, that's why we need Torah Shabbat Peh. On the other hand, are we looking at Nisa D'Oraisa or Nisa D'Rabbanan? So what we saw already back in Ayin Dalet is that when it comes to Achila V'Shtiyah, that certainly is a Nisa D'Oraisa, and failure to afflict, meaning if a person does eat food and drink on Yom Kippur, so subject to the Kari's penalty. So that part was made very clear. Also, what the Gemara said clearly is that for the other Inuim, there's not going to be an Issa Kari's. However, what's not clear in the Gemara is that for the other Inuim, are we talking about an Issa D'Oraisa or are we talking about an Issa D'Rabbanan? So again, in the Gemara itself, we don't have a clear answer to that question, but Tosfos Rishonim says that we're talking about Issur DeRabbanan, and so he has a couple of proofs. One of the proofs that he has is actually from the language and the way that our Gemara phrases the question. The Gemara says, Hani Chamishi Inuyim Keneged Mi. These five Inuyim correspond to what? Correspond to, if we're talking about sourcing, if we're talking about finding a source in the Torah that gives us the derivation for the five Inuyim, so the Torah should have said something like Menalan. By virtue of the fact that it says Keneged Mi, it sounds much more like the Gemara over here is referring to Ramazim, just simply ways of finding hints and allusions to the Psukim in Chumash and in Navi that speak to the five Inuyim, but we're not talking about a Dinda Araisa. So, once again, as I pointed out, it's a machlokas rishonim, whether or not the other inuim are asur min haTorah, asur min haDerabanan. But certainly the Tosfos Rishonim finds that just simply the way the Gemara phrased the question, we're talking about Issur DeRabbanan, not Issur DeOraisa. So Gemara now, for the remainder of today's daf, going into tomorrow's daf, is going to be sourcing exactly where do we see that all these abstentions that are mentioned in the Mishnah are going to be called Inuyim. So Amar Rav Chisda Keneged Chamish Inuyim Shebetorah. So first of all, the number five, how do we know the number five? So just as a general comment, the number five has been a very big part of Yuma. The Kohen Gadol is going to be changing his clothing five times. So we see that the 5 and 10 number, 10 also has become a very popular number as well. Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim is going to be is 10 times by the Kohen Gadol. Shem Hashem is mentioned 10 times. So 5 and 10 become really basic numbers as far as Yom Kippur is concerned. So the Inuyim come out to five. So how do I know that? So the Gemara says, because if you go through the Psukim in the Torah that actually describe Yom Kippur, and the Gemara just quickly rattles off, Uve Asor, Ve Ach Ba Asor, Shabbos Shabbason, Shabbos Shabbason, Ve Haisa Lachem. Okay, and these are all the Psukim. See Rashi for a really brief description of where these psukim can be found. See the second Tosfos over here, who is curious as to why the Gemara over here, when citing the psukim, does not go in the order in which the Torah presents them. In fact, just the opposite. It sounds like it's going in the other direction. But anyway, there are five times that the Torah uses the words inui. So hani chamisha havu. I'm sorry, that's already the next question. So so it comes out that since the Torah says the word inui five times, that teaches us that there are five inui. Okay, five Inuim, go back to the Mishnah. You're going to count up the number of Inuim in the Mishnah. You're going to find that there are, in fact, six. To which the Gemara's response is, Shtia Bechlal Achilahu. What we're going to do is that we're going to take Shtia and Achila and we're going to consolidate them into one category. Really, eating and drinking is one category. The Gemara now is going to make the case that it is one category. How do I know that drinking is subsumed in the category of eating? So the mitzvah of eating Meister Sheni in Yerushalayim. So Tirush Chamerhu. Now, as far as Tirush is concerned, that's wine. Vikari Levachalta. And the verb that's used to describe it is Achila. So you see that despite the fact that we're talking about wine, it is appropriate to use the verb Achila. So you see that drink is subsumed in Achila. Mimai. Gemara says, I'm not sure if the evidence is overwhelming. Vidoma de achle al yedei anigron. It could be that the wine was part of a dish. De amirava bar shmuel anigron mai de silka. As far as anigron is concerned, so it's a food. It's a particular type of dish. It's what you and I would call borscht or something like that. And achsigaron. So mai de kol shilke. So that is a dish made up of other cooked vegetables. So it could very well be that the wine was just simply part of a dish, and it doesn't mean that you're drinking the wine. So El Amar Vacha Bar Yaakov, the Gemara is now going to give another source, that Tirosh is in fact wine. Mehacha v'nasata katz b'chol asher ta'ave nafshecha, babakar v'tzon v'yayinu v'shechar. Sorry, we're giving another source that tells us that shtia is included and incorporated in achila. So the Torah says that, well, you're going to take your Meister Sheni money, and you're going to purchase in Yerushalayim. Bakert, son, yain, shechar. So, shechar, shtiahu. Vikar, rechman, avachalta. So, now, as far as shechar is concerned, so that is, that's wine. And the Torah, again, uses the verb avachila. So, once again, you see that the drink is subsumed within eating. Again, the Gemara pushes back on this as well. Mimai, how do I know? Vidama hachanami. De achle ayidea nigron. It could just simply be that wine was simply put as part of the dish, but it's really a food, and that's why the Torah uses the word zachila. So, shechar, ksiv. The Gemara says, no. By virtue of the fact that the Torah actually uses the word sheikhar, we know that it's drink. Why me did dimashakir? Because it has to be something that's intoxicating. The Torah's description is that it is sheikhar, so that means that it has to be an intoxicant. V'duma devela kilos. The Gemara says, okay, there are foods which are intoxicating. The Tanya, we learned in Braisa, achal devela kilos. If you eat figs from the town of Kila, v'shasu devash v'chalav, or honey or milk, v'nichlans l'mikdash, and you go into the mikdash, and now you are officially under the influence. From the perspective of the Gemara, these particular foods are intoxicating foods. Hard, a little bit hard for us to relate. Milk, honey, things that don't exactly intoxicate us, but certainly the point being is that from the Gemara's perspective, these are intoxicating foods. And if you go into the Beis HaMikdash while under the influence of Chayef, there's an Issur in the Torah not to go in the Beis HaMikdash while under the influence. And so therefore, even though it's not wine, but still, if you're eating an intoxicating drink or food and you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to be Chayef. So, once again, the Gemara just deflected. The Gemara now has just shown that it could very well be that just because it's a sheikhar and just because it's intoxicating doesn't necessarily mean it's wine. It could be other intoxicating foods. And in fact, we just gave a short list of foods that are actually intoxicating. The figs that come from Ke'ila are in fact intoxicating. So, Ella Yalav Sheikhar Sheikhar Minazir. So finally, the Gemara says, okay. So the idea that we know that Sheikhar is wine is based on a Gzereshava. It says it by Nazirus, it says it over here. So Malahalan Yain of Kanyain, just like by the Nazir, it's definitely wine. So to over here, it's definitely wine. The Torah says it exceedingly clear by Nazir that it is wine. So to over here, it's going to be wine as well. As one of the attempts to prove that, that shtia is included in achila, so we used tirosh as an example. So v'tirosh chamerhu. Now you're telling me that tirosh is wine, meaning that once we've concluded that the sheikhar is wine, so the Gemara therefore assumes that the tirosh is wine as well. So v'atanya no demin tirosh aser b'chol minei mesika umutar b'yayin. So somebody who makes a neder that he's not going to be eating tirosh, so he's not allowed to eat anything sweet, but he's allowed to drink wine. So the Gemara is showing from this mission in Adarim that when a person makes a neder restricting himself from eating tirosh, so he's allowed to drink wine. It sounds pretty clear that tirosh is not wine. V'lav chamerhu, the Gemara says, really? And you're going to tell me that tirosh is not wine? V'aksiv, v'tirosh yonoveh besulos. The pasuk in Zechariah giving a description of what happens when you drink tirosh, when you consume tirosh, it's yonoveh besulos. It'll bring forth a besula. Over here in this context, it's not to be taken literally. It's a metaphor. It simply means that secrets are going to be divulged when you're drunk. Okay, right. Nichnas yain yatzasod. The devar habam in a tirosh yonoveh besulos. So the Gemara again, the Gemara pushes back on this proof. Not necessarily. It could very well be that the tirosh over here is the grape, and it just simply means the product of the grape, i.e. wine. That's yonoveh besulos. The Gemara says v'aksiv a tirosh yikavecha yifrotzu. The tirosh of your vats are going to break forth. It's a bracha. It basically says that we're going to have a lot of wine. Once again, tirosh in this context is clearly a reference to wine. So, davar abam in a tirosh yikavecha yifrotzu. The Gemara, again, pushes back. The Gemara says, no. Tirosh over here could be grapes, and it just simply means the product of grapes. But the word tirosh itself could mean grapes. Grapes. V'haksiv znus v'yayim v'tirosh yikach lev. So, the Gemara says, okay, but we have another pasuk. This pasuk in Hosea describes how you can have Znus and Yayin and Tirosh and Yikach Lev, it's gonna take your heart away. Meaning that if you involve yourself in intoxicating beverages, you're going to be involved in Znus. And over here we're talking about Yayin, we're talking about Tirosh. So the Gemara says clearly Tirosh is a reference to wine. There's no other way to explain that pasuk. So the Gemara finally concedes, Ela Dukule Amma Tirosh Chamerhu. So yeah, you're right. Tirosh is wine. I, the Mishnah Nedarim, meaning that Mishnah Nedarim says that a person makes a neder, that he's not going to eat Tirosh, so he's allowed to drink wine. Uvin Nedarim, Halachach, Halasham B'nei Adam. The Gemara says this numerous times. It probably expected this answer to come if you've been learning enough of the daf. So, when it comes to neder, we always follow Halasham B'nei Adam. The definitions of a neder are only going to be based on common language that's used and a mean of communication between one person and another. And the Lashon HaTorah is not going to be defining in terms of a neder, because a neder is something that you are taking upon yourself to make prohibited to you. It's based on your understanding, and your understanding is obviously going to be predicated on what is accepted common language. So when it comes to Tirosh, we're not giving a technical definition of Tirosh. We're talking about Tirosh as understood by people. People understand Tirosh to mean sweet foods. But as far as the formal definition of Tirosh, Tirosh is wine. as long as now the Gemara has brought up the topic of wine, this concludes now the Gemara's discussion regarding the fact that Tirosh is wine and Shtia is Bechlal Achila, and that drinking is actually part and parcel of Achila. And as a result of that, so we actually do count in our Mishnah not six but five inuyim, because the first achila v'shtiyah really to be counted as one, not two. The Amaykar Le'yayin, the Gemara now wants to know, as long as we're talking about wine, so a couple of agadic points regarding wine. So the Gemara says, why is wine called yayin? What's the connection between the word itself and what it's describing? Tirosh. Also, as long as we're on that question, we're going to be asking a related question. It also goes by the name of Tirosh. So why is it called Yain? Why is it called Tirosh? What is the connection between the word and the actual item? So Yain Shemevi Yalala Ba'olam, as far as wine is concerned, so it brings Yalala, wailing. People are really upset after they drink a lot of wine. Rashi gives a description over here. After a person drinks a lot of wine, so he's gonna make mistakes, and mistakes that are just simply unable to correct. Rashi describes neophobia here, adultery. Anyway, and then afterwards you terribly regret that which you did, but obviously there's nothing you could do about it other than just simply be sad. And Tirosh kol hamizgarabo nasa rash. And as far as Tirosh is concerned, the reason why wine is called Tirosh just comes from, it's derived from the word rash. Rash means pour, and a person who is addicted to wine, so he's gonna have to spend his money on wine. And more than he can afford, and he's going to become poor as a result of that. Rav Kahana, Rami Rav Kahana notes that there seems to be a contradiction between Pesukim Ksiv Tirosh. It's written without a Vav, the Karina Tirosh. However, correct pronunciation is Tirosh. This is a classic Kriyuk Siv, Zacha, Nasirosh, Lo Zacha, Nasirash. Now, if you drink your wine in moderation and you're careful about how you drink it, so actually it's good, it's beneficial. If, however, you abuse it, so then you're going to become poor. In terms of Girsa, we'll skip the next three words. We'll add Rava, Rava, Rami. Rava also notes a discrepancy. Ksiv yisamach v'karinan yisamach. In terms of how it's written with a shin. So you could have thought that it's yishamach, but meanwhile, the actual way that it's pronounced, the kri is yisamach. So zacha misamcho. Again, if you drink wine in moderation, so it'll make you happy. However, lo zacha, but if you don't drink wine in moderation and you abuse it, mishamamo. It's going to destroy you. Rava says that because of wine and because of the good reach, perhaps he's describing besamim over here. Anyway, as a result of that, he became wise. He attributes a lot of his chachma to his responsible, moderated drinking of wine. So far we've established now the inuim of achila v'shtia, and we've also learned together that achila v'shtia is really to be consolidated as one category. Now we're up to rechitza. Rechitza v'sicha menalim de'ikra inui. And I'm sorry, not just rechitza, but sicha as well. So the washing and rubbing oil into your skin, dechsiv. Gemara quotes a pasuk, lechem chamus lo achalti uva, savi'ayin lo ba'alpi, v'soch lo sachti. Daniel was really upset. Koresh promised that he was going to build Bayis Sheni. Koresh then reneged on that promise, and Daniel was beside himself. And basically, he had almost like a starvation protest. And he says that he was not going to eat good bread, and he wasn't going to eat fine wine, he wasn't going to eat fine meat, and he wasn't going to drink fine wine, and he's not going to rub oil into his skin. And all this is a function of Inui, and they just read on in the Psukim. But before we read on the Psukim, so my lechem chamudos lo achalti, the Gemara just simply wants to pause here and go over the definitions. Lechem chamudos, what's that a reference to? So I'm Rav Yehuda Berei, the Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, afilo nahama dechite dekaise lo achal. It was made out of wheat. Chite de kaisi, it was pounded wheat, it was crushed wheat. Anyway, but he wouldn't eat that kind of bread. Now, how do I know that these kinds of abstentions are actual definitions of inui dechsiv? So once again, we go back to the psukim in Daniel, and we just continue to quote from the psukim. Vayomer Eli al tirid Daniel, and the malach said to him, "Don't be afraid." We're going to talk more about this tomorrow in terms of the malach and Daniel. But ki mina yomer rishona shenasatis libcha la'avinu lisanos lefnei elokecha, from the moment that you accepted upon yourself to be ma'ana, to afflict yourself. So nishmu dvarecha vani basi bedvarecha. So your tefillas were heard, and now here I am. So good. So we see over here that whatever Daniel did is a function of Inui, and one of the things that he did was abstention from Sicha, from rubbing oil. Ashkechan Sicha, that tells us that Sicha is an Inui, Rechitza Minalan, but how do I know that Rechitza is an Inui? So Amrav Zutra Barav Tuvia, Mayim is going to go inside of him, and oil is going to go inside of him as well. So the Gemara's assumption is that just like oil is an inui, an abstention from oil, and that we learn from Sefer Daniel, so the same thing is true regarding taking water, rubbing on your skin, what we call bathing. The Eimah Kishtiyah, the Gemara says, okay, but I don't know if that's necessarily the pshat in that pasuk. Pasuk we just quoted was from Tehillim, Perikuf Tess. I don't know if that's pshat in the pasuk. It could very well be that the pshat in the pasuk is just simply rubbing oil is like imbibing. It's like you're actually drinking. So Dumi the Shem. The Gemara says no. Ma shemen me avrai, af mayim me avrai. Because obviously the oil over here is topical. You're just rubbing into your skin. So we're assuming that the same thing is true regarding the water. You're rubbing in your skin. I.e. it's rechitza. V'hatana ibcha kanasivla. Okay, but meanwhile, we're going to see a Tana that goes in the exact opposite direction. We learned in the Mishnah. Mishnah in Shabbos. Minayin l'sicha shehi kishtia b'yom ha-kippurim. How do I know that rubbing oil into your skin is tantamount to actually drinking? So, afa pishin ra'ilo davar zech lo davar shenemar v'tavo kamayim bikir bo v'chashemim ba'atmosav. So the pasuk over here seems to clearly indicate that when the water goes in, so it's just like rubbing oil. Now, clearly the Mishnah over here in Shabbos understood water going in, meaning he's imbibing the water, he's drinking the water, and that's going to be like rubbing oil on your skin. So Ravashi says, you're right. So Rechitza Megufa Dekrasha Eshmiyalei. So as far as the Inui of Rechitza is concerned, so we're not learning it from Sicha, but actually, if you go back to that pasuk in Daniel that we cited just a couple lines earlier, you're going to see it in the pasuk itself. Dechsi v'soch lo sachti. The double language of v'soch lo sachti. Rashi points out over here it's redundant. Pasuk in Daniel could have just simply said lo sachti, and that obviously a reference to oil. So why does it say soch lo sachti? The double reference over here is I didn't rub oil into my skin, nor did I bathe as well. And so we see over here that Daniel took upon himself not to rub oil and not to bathe, and the pasuk in Daniel describes as an inui, so that is seemingly a very good proof that sicha and inui fall under the category of sicha. I'm sorry, sicha and rechitza fall under the category of inui, and that is now going to be the sourcing of our next two inuyim. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. We're going to be talking about the Malach and his conversation with Daniel and exactly what was exchanged between the two of them. But and then after that, we're going to go back and we're going to cite the quote unquote sourcing for the other Inuim as well. Let's quickly recap the daf. First part of today's daf, the Amoraim and Tanaim continue the discussion regarding the Mun. And the first discussion that occurred today is how high was the Mun? After descended onto the ground. It was piled. How high was it piled up? So the Gemara basically entertains two different pshatim. It was 60 amas high, or high enough where the other nations could see it. Presumably that's higher than 60 amas. Regardless, the point is that it piled up very high. Rav Elazar Madai, who gave a very specific number that it piled up 60 amas from the ground. So how did he get to that number? So the Gemara says that he used the mabul as his baseline. And from there, since the Torah describes the mun being four times greater than that of the mabul. So if the mabul is 15 amas high, which the Torah tells us, so then the mun must be 60 amas high. Although the Gemara pushed back, the Gemara says the proof does not seem to be definitive because to compare the 40 consecutive days of raining versus 1 hour of mun descending, that seems to be not a fair comparison. And also the other variable is that the rain is for the entire world and the mun is just for the Jewish people. First half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf, starting with the words Aser Ba'achila, the Gemara wants to know where do we find in Tanakh sources for the Chameshis Inuyim? Again, the way the Gemara phrases the question is Keneged Mi, what does it correspond to? And as we pointed out already a couple of times, the indication of the Gemara, the language of the Gemara would seem to point to that the other Inuyim, Atzai Ve'achila V'shtia, are in Isser Derabbanim, not in Isser Deraisa. Again, a debatable point. The Gemara wants to know, how do I know that there are five Inuyim, five times in the Torah, where the Torah talks about Yom Kippur? Does he use the term Inui? So we know that the number should be five. Meanwhile, you go back to the Mishnah, the number six. So the Gemara says that Achila and Shtia are really consolidated into one category. A bit of an oddity. I'll raise a question. I don't have a great answer to the question. And that the Mishnah clearly points out that the Shirim of Achila and Shtia are different Shirim. For Achila, it's a Kokoseves. For Shtia, it's going to be a Melo Lugmav. And the Mishnah also told us very clearly that the two shirim do not combine. I can't take an amount of food and put it together with an amount of liquid in order to get to a compound shear. So clearly in our Mishnah, for the shiurim, they're going to be different. So it comes out to be a little bit strange that the that categorically achila shtiyah are really one category, even though in terms of the actual shiurim are concerned, so it's a different shiur for achila than that of shtiyah. Either way, and I don't have a great response to that, but either way, that was the first part of the discussion of achila v'shtiyah. How do I know that the achila that shtiyah is included in achila? So the Gemara went through a number of different sources in the Torah where we see it. But the Gemara arrived at that conclusion that you see the word yain, or you see the word shechar, or you see the word tirosh, it's a reference to wine. Again, the Gemara went back and forth on this point, but the conclusion is that it's a reference to wine. The Gemara talked about wine in moderation versus somebody who abuses wine. Wine in moderation, the Gemara is very supportive of that. Abusage of wine, the Gemara says it's just simply going to destroy the person physically, financially. All right, the Gemara over here speaks about the ills of addiction to wine, or for that matter, any alcohol. The Gemara wants to find a source for Rechitza and Sicha. So for Sicha, we have the pasuk in Daniel, where Daniel basically abstained himself from various pleasures because Koresh decided not to continue with the building of the second base of Mikdash. And so one of the things that he didn't do is he didn't rub oil into his skin. How do I know that Rechitza is also considered an Inui? Eventually, the Gemara ended up saying that's from the Pasuk in Daniel itself. When the Pasuk says, Sach lo sachti, so the double language tells us that not only did he not rub oil into his skin, but he didn't bathe as well. So he really afflicted himself out of the distraught that he felt for the lack of construction of Bayit Sheni. This is where we'll stop.